Mandy's Garden Shed on Cambridge 105.
And a very good afternoon to you. Welcome to the Garden Show Bash. Well, we find ourselves well and truly in the month of December, and still no let up as far as autumn raging and winter not quite having arrived. So for gardeners, is it good or bad news? And of course, at this time of year, it is time for merriment and a sprinkling of glitter all over the place, which includes the gardeners. So we've got one or two festive ideas in the programme today. And providing those, well, we've christened as something slightly different for the season. Little Saint Nick is in the studio with us and will be offering her advice. And if you're a regular listener to the programme, you will know that that advice is different from any other garden show in the whole of the country. And as it's an all-girls garden programme, not necessarily from a listening point of view, I should tell you that we have been Christmas shopping. Well, as Sharon Shannon and her squeeze box sort of fade away into Lapland, it is about time we got down to one or two things here on Mandy's Garden Shed, and a warm welcome to you. Now then, plenty of Christmas dramas about at the moment, but they're not all on TV, as Nicola and I discovered on our National Trust allotment. Well, Nicola, it has to be said that November has bowled us quite a few problems up here on the allotment, mainly because of the weather. We've had such a contrast. I mean, we've had the first frosts, we've had the leftovers from some of the bigger storms that, of course, have been battering Britain over the last month. We've had some lovely, calm, sunny days. And today, well, it's sort of like a really strange sort of whirlwind whipping around everywhere. But, of course, the wind has brought us the worst problems of all.
The wind has. In fact, the other day when we were walking up here, we just got into view of the allotment. We thought, oh, something looks a bit funny. And then we realised that instead of looking at the front of the shed, we were actually looking at the bottom of it because the wind had tipped it over onto its side. I've lost track. I don't know if it's Abigail, Barney or who it was. But one of them has come up here and gently, thank goodness, tipped our shed onto its back. So we've had to right that and take a few small repairs, as Sean Colvin would say.
I have to say, I had to go all the way back to my music band days to come up with a solution. Because in the olden days, it used to be like gold, and it was called gaffer tape, which is that lovely sort of silvery tape which sticks to anything. And so what we've actually done is to spend this morning shoring up the shed. Every possible area that the wind might whip into and cause problems, we're shoring it up. And of course, just to remind our listeners that we chose a steel shed above a wooden shed because we thought the wood wooden shed would be battered by the wind, as we stand quite high up here on our allotment.
Yeah, well, I have to say, I think she's held up quite well, really, because when we came up and saw her overturned, I was envisaging a lot more damage than we've had. And you did your Samson trick. There was me saying, no, don't be daft, we can't possibly put it right. We'll have to get somebody to help us. And you weren't behind and pushed. And up it came, because it's actually not that heavy, is it? It's quite a delicate shed, really. And we've got a few bashes in the back, but mercifully no long-term damage. Everything, I felt a bit like the Wizard of Oz when I walked in, because everything had been blown, sort of tipped onto its side and moved to the back of the shed. So we've righted everything. We've righted the tea trolley. I have tried the gas stove. It still works. Priorities. So we've come up this morning and just done the last bits of gaffer taping, and those sleepers that you had on your peace garden, which were creating that lovely CND symbol, are no longer there. They're holding the roof on the shed now. But we have just thought of something that we might look into, because you, when you were up there gaffering it, found some grass and bits of greenery up there, and we actually think we might now look at a grass roof for the shed, because not only would it be lovely and ecologically valuable, but also it would hold the shed down. So we'll look at that for the spring.
And no doubt, as soon as we've actually done that, there won't be any more windy days. So that's just going to be typical, isn't it, really? Going back to the peace garden, minus the railway sleepers that we're now holding the shed down with, surprisingly, because last month I planted a load of summer, or sort of late spring summer bulbs, so that hopefully we were going to have a lovely view in front of our old bench. Surprisingly, already the iris have come up because, of course, of all this really strange mild weather.
We have, and we have still been having an enemy, so it was extraordinary to come up here in all these winds, because they're sheltered along this dry stone wall, and the blackthorn is towering above them. We've actually been able to pick another vase full of anemones over the last week as well, which has been quite special, I think.
The bane of our life, of course, this year, working through every month of the allotment, has been the dry weather. And, of course, this has sort of run across everywhere. And we don't have water up here on our allotment. We don't have that luxury. But we do have hundreds and hundreds of buckets strategically placed, some with shoots of drain pipes coming in off the dry stone walls as the farming fields above us actually drain into them, which has been very successful. The great news about that is that we've now established some large containers at the back of the shed, and we're actually decanting the buckets. So what we're really doing now is storing that water ready for the spring planting.
We are. We've lost a couple of buckets, which were sadly squashed by the shed incident. But we have, yeah, we've got some lovely water now in these buckets. And, of course, that's performing a double function. It's giving us lots of water to store up for when we need it, but it's also weighting the buckets down, because things are blowing about and you don't want to leave bits of plastic lying around. But, yeah, I think we're gathering now. We found the tap for the water butt, didn't we? We couldn't work out why the water butt wasn't storing anything. And then we realised that we hadn't screwed the tap in, so any water that did go in there was just coming out the side.
But doing my Dutch boy routine, wasn't
were,
I, with the finger in the dam.
Yes, exactly. So you stuck your finger in that until we found the tap. So that now is working a little better than it was.
I think our listeners are beginning to realise that this is more a playground than an allotment, as far as we're concerned. We raised the last row of potatoes. They were red potatoes. And actually, we had some last night for dinner. They're still absolutely delicious, but we don't have a potato left other than a very strange crop of Christmas potatoes, which we planted. They flourished, they came up, and then they collapsed. But I have put sticks in where they are, and I am hoping that we still will be able to raise those for, well, half a dozen at least, for a Christmas dinner.
Well, this is, we'll remember from last month, that we get roughly one a plant. So they are, I think that's what's known as a delicacy.
The strange thing is that one minute you want to look forward to all the produce coming out. The next minute you want the produce to be over, because you know that at this time of year, if the weather allows it, frantic digging goes on. And of course, because this allotment hadn't been sort of farmed or used for many, many years, we're still fighting the weeds, not just basic weeds, but quite sort of phenomenal things. So you've had a really good dig of the potato patch, and I've had a really good dig over
of the raised bed, which for me was a bit of a disaster this year. I think the soil is very poor there and I need to do something about that. So I'm going to spread chicken pellets all over that. But you have come up with an extraordinary plan for your potato patch.
I have. I've dug the potato patch and it was an absolute pleasure this time. Because it's much easier. The soil actually is quite good and I'm pleased to report that the worms are back. We were a bit worried.
Can I just say, you're waving your hand and I notice you're wearing my senior gardening gloves.
Yes, I have got the Master Gardener blue gloves on because I couldn't find mine. So I've put yours on instead. And so we've dug that. The soil's quite good. The worms are back. But we found this thing that we're going to trial and it's called Green Manure Autumn Mix. And basically, it's a mixture of two different types of clover. I don't know why we're planting clover because most of the other side of the allotment is. We've been trying to get rid of it for weeks. But anyway, it's a mixture of two types of clover, ryegrass and mustard seed. And what it's supposed to do, I'm going to rake this patch now, and if the wind will allow me, scatter the seed and then rake it in. And the idea is that it grows up and provides a cover, it stops the spread of weeds, and it keeps all the nutrients in the soil rather than allowing them to leach out. And then in 2 or 3 months' time, when we're ready to plant something and when that's died down, we should dig it in and it will provide lots of organic material which will further enrich the soil.
You're beginning to sound like an expert, actually, but I've noticed you've just read that off the back of the packet.
I've read the packet, yes, yeah.
We still have some leeks to lift, and we're thoroughly enjoying those at the moment. The onion crop is coming along slowly and steadily, and we only planted your garlic last month, and it's already showing through the soil. It makes you wonder what this mild autumn is going to bring us, really.
I know, it's just as well it is showing through the soil, because I couldn't remember for the life of me where I'd actually planted it. But it is over there, and I've got two rows of garlic, I think, or is it three? I don't know. We can't tell from onions, from garlic at the moment, or daffodils, so it's going to make for some interesting dishes in a couple of months' time.
And speaking of daffodils, of course, we dug up all the available daffodil bulbs from the main cropping areas of the allotment, and we've put them all in the borders, so we're really keeping our fingers crossed for a lovely spring. We've also planted another butterfly bush. For those of you that have butterfly bushes springing up all over your garden where you don't want them, that's exactly what we've done. Every time one has appeared in our own ordinary garden, we have to say an ordinary garden as opposed to an allotment these days, we dug it up and we are gradually planting all these little miniature butterfly bushes along the hedge to give a little bit more wind resistance, which I think is really the order of the day, because we're told that we're going to have a lot of stormy days as far as this particular autumn is concerned, and who knows what the winter will bring.
Yeah, I do have to say that these buddleias that we thought were going to be the absolute Trojans and guardians of the plot are sort of cowering down below the level of the wall at the moment, so I hope they're going to show a bit more spirit when the spring comes.
We're a little bit concerned about the pond because although we've actually been removing the duckweed from it gradually, we have noticed that it's as clear as a bell. I think it thinks it's part of the Caribbean, really. And we can see right down to the bottom where just a few sort of plant labels have managed to land themselves. But there is no sign of life there now. I was wondering whether we ought to put a layer of mud in the bottom there because, of course, that's where things like to hibernate.
I know nothing about ponds at all. I mean, it looks lovely to me, but I agree with you, there's nothing moving in it. So if you think it needs mud, we'll put some mud in. We've got plenty of it.
Well, it gives them a little place to hide. I think what we better do now is start raking over all these plots and putting some nutrients into the soil. And of course, we'll be having a break from the allotment in the sort of January, February time. I guess February is probably the next time that we'll probably start to do some major work here. But the important thing at this time of year is that as all the weeds are dying off, we're actually going to start farming a brand new plot much higher up the allotment, closer to the shed. And also, you have plans for a whole big dahlia bed.
Yes, I think that would be lovely. I'm spurred on by the success of my pink spiky one in the tub. So I think a cut flower dahlia bed would be quite something because I've looked enviously at them in people's gardens as I've been walking around and I fancy a few of those for ourselves. Earwigs and dahlias.
And I'm going to read up on a brassica
tent of some sort, because we do have, obviously up here, because we love them, a lot of butterfly population, and we failed miserably with the sprouts. In fact, I pulled them up and put them in the compost the other day because there was not a sprout on them anywhere. So I'm going to start thinking very carefully about devising a way of being able to grow things like cabbages and sprouts and not entirely sharing them with the population of wildlife that we have up here. Having said that, with wildlife, the robins are thrilled and delighted that the worms have now returned to the plot and are very, very busy. And it's very active up here. So what we're also going to be doing, if Father Christmas is nice to us, is hanging a lot more bird feeders up here to encourage the birds and then subsequently all the wildlife that goes with it. Because the mice like a little bit of bird seed if it happens to land on the floor. And we've got voles as well, haven't we?
We have. We've got everything up here. I think we've got something rather bigger as well. I think we've got a fox or something that comes through, judging by various trails that we see in the soil. But I'm going to go and dig up a couple of parsnips now, because the frost's had them and the flavour's delicious.
I don't suppose I could have my gloves back, could I?
Well, only if I can find mine.
It's always the way, isn't it, up here?
Mandy's Garden Shed on Cambridge 105.
Needless to say, I didn't get the gloves back. And actually, they're absolutely filthy. Over to little Saint Nick.
Well, I think the least you can do, really, is get me a new pair, because I prefer mine. It's not that I prefer yours.
Oh, okay.
I find yours a bit serious, really.
Are they?
I prefer my green junior gardening gloves,
really.
They are
thorn-proof, aren't they?
Well, they're not, because the first thing that happened when I put them back on was that I went at my parsnips with great vigour, as you can imagine.
Whoever that is.
I got a thorn in my hand from the last time you used it.
Anyway, moving on swiftly, the drama is not only, of course, on the allotment.
No, it isn't, because Cambridge is awash with rehearsals for Christmas shows, but Mandy was interested to find out what the thespians were planning in the way of Christmas trees.
Well, here we are amongst Board's Theatre Group, and there's just one burning question this Christmas. Let's start with the director for this year's show of Masquerade, which is about to take to the stage at the ADC Theatre next week. Mr. Barry Brown, will it be a real Christmas tree or a synthetic one for you this year, and why?
It has to be a real Christmas tree. It has to be, because of the smell and the texture and everything else. I can't abide the alternative.
It has to be an authentic tree. It has to be a large tree. And in keeping with opera, it has to be full of very sparkly baubles.
Will it be a real tree or a synthetic tree for you this Christmas?
It will be a real tree. I always have a real tree. We're picking it up on Saturday. Well, I like the smell. I like the sense of it, because it talks of Christmas, doesn't it? That's exactly what you need for Christmas. I like the decorating. We do it as a group of friends, and it's a very sociable thing to do. So it's a lovely way to brighten up the room for Christmas.
Now, I gather you're from Lancashire, so will it be a real Christmas tree this year or a synthetic one?
It's a synthetic one. I'm sorry. I'd like a real one, but it's a synthetic one this year. Because I bought one for my previous house, and it was so big I couldn't fit it in my house. But I've moved, and now it'll fit, so I'm going to celebrate just having my tree solely in my house.
And where do you store it?
In my shed. I think it's a dark green one. But all the baubles are going to be pink, purple, silver. Purple, silver, yeah. Well, it matches my hair.
Moving on swiftly. Ladies, can I ask a burning question? Will it be a real tree or a synthetic one this year?
Oh, a real one.
Why?
Oh, it's always a real one, Mandy.
A real one, of course. Yeah, yeah. Well, I probably won't know, really, because I'll have had a tipple, so I don't really know what's going on most of the time, do I, Granny?
Is that normal for Christmas?
That's normal for Christmas. That's normal for any time, really, for me. Just ask my fellow witch.
A real one. Real one, absolutely. All sorts of things will be flying about, but who knows? Strange things can happen in Masquerade.
Oh, it'll be a real one. Definitely real a real one, one this year. Yes.
And who decorates out of you two?
Me.
No, she gives the instructions. Any heavy stuff, I have to do.
He does, but I decorate it, yes.
And is it a bucket of soil or is it one of those holders?
No, it's a holder. It's the, what's they call it, the the Piaggio of holders. And it really is excellent. It works wonderfully. Drop the tree
heavy
into
metal.
It. clips, and it's as solid as a rock.
And will there be music as you decorate?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yes.
Definitely.
You have to have carols while you're decorating.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Kings?
No, Claire. Claire is my favourite. Claire, there's a lovely one of Claire's that I particularly like with John Rutter, so...
Synthetic. I've had it for 20 years. It folds up into a sort of column, and then it unfolds, and it's got optic fibre stuff, which, you know, appears at the end. You can stick things on it. It's dark green. I don't have a very convenient way of getting in or getting out a real tree. You know, as this has gone on for 20 years, it's not wasting much. Plenty of real trees around. There was one in here last night. Have you nicked it?
Probably a real tree this year. We normally like a real tree, even though we have to throw it away after a while. Synthetic trees are getting better, so they're now looking quite good. But where do you store them? We don't have a loft, not one that we can easily get to. But we've always liked a real tree, and it's as much as anything to do with the smell. Whereas a synthetic tree, yes, you can spray them, it's not the same smell. So we like the smell of a real tree. We like the fun of choosing it, buying it and putting it up. Whereas a synthetic, it makes it artificial. Let's go for real Christmas, not artificial Christmas.
It's got to be a real tree, simply because there's nothing like it, is there? Smells, fragrance and tradition.
We have a synthetic one, I'm afraid. One of these that comes in a kit and you just assemble it from the bottom, then it's... Because we live in an apartment, it's a lot less hassle than dragging a real tree up and then dragging it all down to the bottom and all the needles and everything. Green, yes, and traditional decorations on it, yeah.
On FM, online and DAB Digital Radio.
This is Mandy Morton.
Cambridge One.
And also, it's a little Saint Nick, I think we'd better give them a plug, don't you?
We have to thank Boards, the lovely people from Boards, for allowing us to delay one of their very crucial final rehearsals to do that Vox Pops. And the benefits of their labours are on at the ADC all next week. Now, you and I have come to love the Boards Christmas show, and this time, as you might have heard in that clip, they're giving us Terry Pratchett's Masquerade, and you can hear more about that, which runs all next week, on tomorrow's Eclectic Light Show, which is repeated on Monday night. And also, they have very kindly allowed us into their dress rehearsal.
They're
on
very
Monday.
Brave, aren't they?
They are very brave. We are going into the hallowed stalls of the ADC to watch their final rehearsal, just so we can bring you a review of that show on Mandy's Tuesday Mid-Morning Show.
Brilliant. And you are listening to Cambridge 105. It's Mandy's Garden Shed with Mandy and Nicola all the way through until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Don't forget that after 2 o'clock, the programme will be coming live from the Winter Fair in Mill Road with lots and lots of artists performing live and stall holders and all that sort of thing. So we're keeping that Christmas theme going right throughout the day here on Cambridge 105. Now, Boards were talking about their Christmas trees, their preference for real ones. I think in balance, I think that the real tree won. There's no doubt about that. But I'm sort of treading water and sort of playing for time here. Nicola has come up with a few tips, regarding how to keep everything nice and fresh over Christmas.
Yes, and it's the antidote to the Mogg Christmas advert.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Good. Okay.
Yeah, obviously the first thing is getting your tree home, isn't it?
Indeed.
Because think of it, this tree has probably been, I don't know, unless you're one of those rare people who goes out and cuts your own Christmas tree. Tree's been sitting around a bit. So the whole thing is to keep it moist throughout the whole process. And the first stage of that is to get it home in one piece. Now, you and I, normally, I mean, we have this debate, don't we, each year about how big the Christmas tree is going to
be.
Because I tend to err on the side of getting something slightly larger, and you say quite rightly that it won't fit.
But it's like one of the ladies in that clip that we just heard. I mean, she's had to buy
a new house
around
her
tree.
I like that. I like her priorities.
Best not to do it every year, though.
No, probably not. But you and I can normally wrestle the tree into the car if we stick it out the front window or something that. But if you're going to have a very, very big tree, or alternatively, if you've got a very, very small car and you have to put it home on the roof rack, the trick is to wrap it up. Because you don't want the wind damaging or drying out your tree even before you get it out of the car the other end, do you?
Well, that's a good tip, isn't it?
Yeah.
So don't stick your tree on the roof rack unless you can help it.
Exactly. If you are, wrap it up nicely in a blanket and tie it tight. Because you don't want a disaster this early in the first of season. Acclimatise your tree once you get it home, because it doesn't like temperature changes. And if it goes suddenly into a hot room, you're going to put stress on the tree and you're going to damage the thing and risk loss of needles very early on. You don't want that. I mean, if your house is like our house, I mean, there's no problem because it's
freezing cold.
Exactly. So just whack it straight in and get on with it.
Yeah.
But if you've got a normal house with central heating that works, you might want to stick it, your tree, for a day or two in the garage or the basement or the shed or something like that, just so that the progression to the heating is not quite so sad. Recut your stem. Because your vascular system will be clogged by now. And that's nothing to do with the mince pies, anything like that. That is actually the tree's vascular system, which draws the water up through the roots. Like I said, because it's probably been sitting in the garden centre or on the forecourt or wherever you get it from. Even if you just cut a quarter of an inch off, that will allow the tree to absorb the water in a much more efficient way. Think of that tree, Mandy, as a cut flower.
Okay.
So what do you do when you get a bunch of flowers home? You cut the ends off, don't you?
You do.
Stick it in the vase.
You
well, your tree is exactly the
fascinating.
Same.
Fascinating.
Then you've got to put it in your stand. I liked the sound of Rosemary's stand there.
Yeah.
They've obviously got.
I can't repeat what she said about that stand.
No, I know, but it's a very good stand, isn't it?
Yeah.
We've got one of those ones where you have to sort of screw the things until it gets straight, doesn't it?
And of course, if your stem isn't wide enough, then the screws don't hold it, do they?
No. Or if your stem's too wide,
you can't put it in the.
Spend ages shaving off. Anyway.
Check your stems, ladies and gentlemen.
Cut your stem. Ordinary water in your stand.
Yeah.
No, nothing fancy. Studies have shown, apparently.
Some people put sugar in there, don't they?
Yeah, I don't know why they bother, really. No. Save that for your tea.
Yeah.
Choose the location very carefully, obviously. You don't want it by hot heating or cool drafts or the French windows are all right, but not if you're going to have them open.
No, exactly, because you're going to have to go past the baubles every time,
exactly,
aren't you?
Exactly.
Lametta trailed right across the floor.
Yes, close to the plug, because that way disaster lies if you don't do anything
indeed
like that. And not in strong sunlight, because apparently that will fade the tree much quicker.
We're not going to get much of that, are we?
Check your tree twice a day.
For what?
Water levels, because those stands don't. I hate that part, don't you?
Mm.
Because it's all right at the beginning.
And you want to stack presents under
exactly
it.
Exactly.
And
then you're rummaging
landslide
under the tree, aren't you? The water
in the words
jug
of
that you go
Stevie
pours
Nicks
over your poshest present that you've wrapped for somebody.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You fuse your lights.
Yeah. Yes, anyway, because you pour your lights, the water all over you. Yeah. Marvellous.
Anyway, but do check your tree twice a day.
Do you know, could I just interject it? I do wonder why we go through all this once a year. Dragging stuff in from the garden, making everywhere filthy.
Oh, but it wouldn't be the same without it, would it? Now, if you've got a living Christmas tree, which we did try one year and it lasted about 2 minutes. In fact, we've had sweet peas that have lasted longer than that.
We have,
Christmas
yes,
tree, haven't we?
Yeah.
Keep your root ball moist in the same sort of way.
Obviously.
And don't put it in the house for more than 10 days.
No.
Look.
Is that it? Yeah, I'd throw that away. So there you are, ladies and gentlemen. Top tips, I think that's what we're going to call it, from Little Saint Nick. One thing that she is good at, however, is shopping, aren't you?
I'm very good at shopping.
Like a bit of shopping. If you were bewildered, you're listening to Cambridge 105. It is Mandy's Garden Shed.
You won't be any less bewildered by the end of it.
We're looking forward to being voted the best garden show in the whole country, aren't we?
We are.
Hmm. One day. Right, so I think we shall move on now to a spot of shopping, because Nicola and I never need an excuse to go shopping. So we set out for Scottsdale's Garden Centre at Great Shelford in search of some ideas for presents for the gardener in your life. Well, Nicola, 20 days to go till Christmas. And for those of us maniacs that don't actually start our Christmas shopping in the middle of August, it's a bit of a busy time. So we've come to Scottsdale's Garden Centre to not only shop for ourselves, but also to come up with some really good ideas for the gardeners, for the wildlife enthusiasts, and for people that maybe just want to do a little bit of something nice on their windowsill, because quite frankly, we've just had a bit of a recce, and there is something for everybody at every possible price you can think of.
There certainly is. And we've come over to this corner of Scottsdale, which is devoted to some of my favourite things. Not necessarily, as people will notice, for the really puritanical gardener. Some of the things I've chosen are more, shall we say, decorative. But you're absolutely right. You have to look around at how busy the store is today to see how that there really is something here for every possible person in your family. And also every possible little furry creature as well. I mean, maybe the four-legged sort, or also the ones that you like to attract to your garden who might not necessarily stay.
Now, of course, one of the things that we wanted to do in our programme, Mandy's Garden Shed, is to give a nod to wildlife as well, because it's just as important, and in some cases even more important than whether you're growing potatoes or carrots or whatever you're doing. So let's start here with a few ideas. Some of them, of course, are slightly out of season, but we're looking around here at things that really are the wonderful things to set up in the garden and to bring you actually wonderful joy all year round. If you're somebody that doesn't really get out very much and you sit by your window and you like to look at your garden and see what's going on, we've come up with one or two ideas here that are actually going to be quite joyful, I think.
I think they are, and it's a lovely... There is nothing more special, I think, than attracting these birds to your garden and finding new varieties and new species of birds that you haven't seen before. And look at how many square feet of Scottsdale's now are devoted to feeding the birds and looking after the wildlife in our community. I mean, if you want to start with something which is all included, we've got the complete feeding station kit for wild birds, which has got the lovely trays, the seed trays, as well as the hanging things as well. Something I love here is the hedgehog box. Very, very special when you see a hedgehog scuttling across your patio outside. And how to look after him or her there. I mean, I'm not sure we've got one of these hedgehog boxes, and I think we've probably had every form of wildlife in it but a hedgehog.
Well, and also our cat Molly Bloom likes to go in occasionally.
She does as well. But if you're lucky enough to get a hedgehog, there's also the hedgehog dry food to go with it, so that's a very nice present. And it's not just a case now, when you walk around these things, of actually feeding birds in general. They're very, very specific, which we'll go on to in a minute. My eye has been rather taken by the Livingston bird table over there, which is a lovely sort of sky blue wooden bird table, which would look very attractive in your garden, whether you wanted to feed the birds or not.
And of course, some of the things that we're talking about here, the bird feeding station, you can get that for under £25 at the moment. The hedgehog, that'll cost you under £20, which can't be bad as far as the pocket is concerned. And then the all-singing, all-dancing bird table that Nicola just mentioned would cost a little bit more than that, but it's a very, very posh present, but you would get that for under £50. So a little bit of something for everybody's pocket. And of course, if you have got an avid bird feeder in your life, and I'm talking about the person this time, then there is an abundance of opportunities to actually buy foods and all different sorts of bird feeders if you just want the single bird feeders. And really, this is like walking into an Aladdin's cave, isn't it?
Certainly is. I mean, it used to be that you had a packet of general all-bird seed or mealworms or something like that for robins, but now there is every sort. We have got these section. There's the all seasons blend for coal tits, blue tits, green finches, sparrows. There's the robin. I think, judging by what I'm looking at here, and the robin is a very, very popular visitor to most people's gardens. Something that I'm quite interested in that I hadn't seen before, these nugget things, fuel birds, high energy nuggets, which are particularly good for long-tailed tits, because we have loads of long-tailed tits that pass through our gardens, and also the nugget feeder there to go with it.
That's called Peckish. What a lovely names they've given them as well.
They certainly have. And you know, it's not just something that's important for the birds and a sort of very worthy thing to do, but actually all this variety, it makes things fun. And I can imagine, you know, if you've got a young family, what a treat it is to bring them up in this way and get all this stuff and attract the birds to your garden and teach them about nature in that way.
It's also interesting because we've no idea what the winter is going to bring us, because it took a long time to actually kick in. But it is worth knowing that, of course, you've got high in fat and high in protein feeds here. So if we are going to go into a severe winter, then that's also an opportunity for people to think very hard about exactly what they want to feed their birds on so that they thrive.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing that's nice is that there's good advice here on all the tickets and the signage around the shops on what to do for the birds in all seasons, when they need feeding, not just for the winter but in the summer as well.
Okay, so that's the wildlife in your garden. And of course, there is so much more to choose from, which we simply don't have time for this week on the programme, because we're trying to pack in as many ideas for Christmas presents as possible for the gardener in your life. What are you up to?
Well, continuing with the theme of the birdseed, I have been attracted by a rather lovely range of tins. Basically, tins are big this Christmas, and it's tins to keep food in for every sort of pet you could possibly have. The one I've got here is for a robin. It's called Brutus, this particular robin. But there's also lots of different brightly coloured tins for your cat. The cat's called Doris. Fish, chickens, rabbits, hamsters, whatever you've got, there's something to keep that person's treats nice and tidy. And also, not something you have to shove in the way out of a cupboard, because it's sort of the vintage tin look, but also would look lovely on any surface, I think.
Very lovely indeed. And you'll get that for under 15 quid, that one. I have to say that my eye has been drawn, with our allotment and everything, by the most beautiful range, wait for it, of watering cans. At one time, it used to be really very, very special to have an old-fashioned galvanized watering can. They follow the trend and the fashion, but we have got them in the most electric colors. And when I say electric colors, there's an electric blue, there's an electric green, we've got an aubergine one over there, and they are absolutely gorgeous. They are tin.
They
as in the style of the old galvanised. And I know that you've got your eye on the ultimate
one.
You
see, I'm torn now, because I have actually originally chosen, this one, which is a little bit bigger. I was very attracted to this. It's sort of black, but it's offset by the most wonderful copper handles and spouts, which I think looks very, very authentically old, and would take a bit of battering that. I think this would look very nice when it had been used a bit. But now, you've got the electric blue one there, which I know you'd like, because you'll have blue, but I'm rather taken with the green one too. Mm-hmm. And what's nice, because they're slightly smaller, aren't they? So they won't be as heavy. If you don't like it necessarily, if you can't carry as much water, that's probably the one for you. This black one here is quite big, and I think actually you probably need a pair, don't you, really?
I think I'd put that in the fireplace. It looks so lovely. I don't think I'd even take it outside. Now, the watering cans, quite an expensive present, but an absolutely beautiful one. That comes out at just under £40 for my blue one. How much is your big expensive one?
Mine's a bargain. Mine's $24.99.
An absolute steal. Fantastic. Incidentally, we're putting these in our trolley at the moment, so if you do go to the Facebook page, you might exactly be able to actually look and see what is in the trolley as we go along. Now, you've chosen this. This is interesting.
Well, everybody has somebody who's obsessed with technology and gadgets, and that doesn't necessarily always go with that nice, peaceful gardening thing. But I have found somebody for the gadget freak in your life, which is the Digital Weather Station, currently on offer, less than half price, under £15. It's a base station and sensor, so you put one outside, and then in you have something, a very attractive screen inside, which tells you lots of different things, obviously the date and the time, the weather conditions, the weather forecast, the temperature, the moon phase, which I think is absolutely lovely. And then something that made me laugh, it's got a comfort indicator. So I imagine that tells you how cruel or how nice the weather is going to be for the next few days. So I think that's quite lovely, because we are obsessed with the weather, let's face it, in this country. And I think quite rightly so, because we've seen it's been the most unusual autumn already, and winter is finally here. So I think this is lovely. If you want to sit in your armchair and be a weather freak, this is definitely the gift for you, the Digital Weather Station.
And something a little bit more hands-on is I'm always attracted by wall clocks of every sort. And I have to say that we've positioned them around our garden, because the one thing about going out and gardening is that you can get completely and totally lost in time. And I think, although it's very lovely to not be clock watching, sometimes if you have got an appointment later on in the afternoon, it's always best to lift your head up from your weeding and your hoeing to just check somewhere in the garden for the time. And this is an absolute whacker. In fact, you better hold it and tell us about this one.
I'll hold it. It's called the Exeter Wall Clock and Thermometer. There's a whole range of Westminster clocks, which is so handsome. They've got the most beautiful faces, I think. And they're lovely because they're suitable for indoor or outdoor. This one's a bit fancy because obviously it's got the time on it, and it's got the temperature, as I just mentioned, but it's also got a humidity range as well. So this, probably of all the beautiful clocks we've seen, this is the most gardener friendly, I think. If you had that on your wall, you'd stick that on the wall of your shed, I think you'd be very well off there.
And very, very big, so if you lift your head up and glance down the garden, you can instantly see
exactly
that you're late for an appointment. Now, what else have you got in your trolley here?
Right, well, I've got a few things that are, if you're not somebody who's got a big garden or an allotment or anything like that, and yet you still like to have things around you that you can look after
that
and be proud of. Yeah, and look, you could be proud of, a sense of achievement. I've got gardens in a tin.
Okay. You are obsessed by tins this year.
I am the tin girl today. And I've chosen two here. They're both the Johnson's range. We've got the Perfect for Pollinators collection, which is a seed tin with 10 packets of seeds. And in that, you've got the most wonderful mix. You've got California poppies, cosmos, dahlia, foxglove, marigold, zinnia, verbena, sunflower, rudbeckia. I had to stop there.
Nice.
Yeah, and nigella. She's on Monday nights at the moment. But
that should be plain and simple,
yes,
shouldn't it?
Yes.
Get your hands with that.
So 10 seed packets and a lovely tin to keep them in, which obviously you can use for something else. And the most glorious range of colours you can have there. And then the equivalent, if you want to actually grow something practical that you can eat, we have the award-winning vegetable collection, which is the same idea, the tin and the 10 packets. But here we've got seeded vegetables. We've got basil, beetroot, cabbage, carrot, lettuce, tomato, spinach, radish, pepper, onion. Everything you could need for a little kitchen garden just outside your back door.
Absolutely perfect, and a very good price as well, because again, just under £15 for those little tins. And of course, if you add up how much it costs you for a packet of seeds these days, you'll realise that that is an absolute bargain with all those different things in there. Everyone loves to have a little bit of a windowsill. There's an awful lot of flats and apartments in Cambridge where, of course, people don't get the opportunity to get out in the garden and start digging, but no excuse, essentially, for not having a go.
No, absolutely not. And if anybody's listening, I would love one of these. It's the Herb Kitchen Garden. It is in the most attractive wooden box. You know those vintage sort of crates that people craze for these days that cost a fortune, with the kitchen garden written on the side, and it would look handsome on any windowsill, I think that. And four lovely herbs, basil, parsley, chives, and your favourite, coriander. Ugh. I could go to there with a small pair of kitchen scissors and snip away and be very happy with that. It comes with the compost and the plastic pots, so really it is absolutely everything you need to have herbs for your cooking every day of the week.
Superb idea. Now, you were talking about snipping away and things. I have to say that this next item is one of my must-haves, essentially, because what is lovely about coming to a garden centre is the fact that there's an awful lot of sort of packaging goes on, so that you get little kits. And as we've been talking about the sort of the gardens in a tin and things, I have to say that I probably get through a pair of secateurs a year. In fact, I've got through two pairs on our allotment, principally because of the blackthorn and all the other rugged things up there. So this would be a perfect present for me, because it's a set which has a lovely, very good quality pair of secateurs. And don't bother buying any cheap secateurs, incidentally, ladies and gentlemen, because it doesn't last 5 minutes. Along with that is the sort of thing that an old gardener would always have at his fingertips, and it's only just now coming back into fashion, because it's a real gardener's knife, which you can prune with, you can delve into the soil with and have a look at. Anyway, it's a complete sort of, it's like
cut
one of those...
Cut your asparagus with.
Cut your, if you had any,
yes,
that is. Yes,
any.
We're looking at that, aren't we? But it is one of those little gardener's knives, which is fantastic. You get a really good pair of secateurs, and then obviously, because both these items can be a little bit dangerous, a fabulous pouch to put them in.
Well, and you put them down, don't you?
You do. When
you lose them somewhere in your garden. So having the pouch to go with it.
And you can
really
you
thing.
Can get this in bright purple. You can get it in khaki green if you don't want to be too loud. You can get it in red. And I think that it's an absolute steal for the price at the moment, because it is under a tenner, £9.99. And you might have to pay up to £20 for a decent pair of secateurs. You get them and you get the gardener's knife as well with that, which is fantastic.
Absolutely. And just to mention the herb garden, I don't think I said that's under a fiver at the moment. Now, this is lovely. I like this. It's a bucket in a bag. Because at the allotment, we've got lots of buckets put around all over the place. But sometimes when you're collecting your fruit, picking your apples, getting a load of stuff to take to the green bin, you want something that you can put away and you don't necessarily want it cluttering up your garden afterwards.
And weeding buckets, as we've discovered, are very important.
They certainly are. But not everybody wants to leave them out to catch the rain like we do. So if you like buckets that you could tidy away, this is the thing. Bucket in a bag. It is exactly what it says. And I'm going to try and put it together now.
And it's in a little drawstring bag,
little
so it's easy to pack
bag,
away
this one, but it does come in all colors, and you just take that out and look, it unfolds. It's like one of those top hats that magicians used to sort of thump, and they would come out to their full size. And there you go. It's exactly...
So it's a pop-up bucket, basically.
Yeah, it's about a foot high. It's made of lovely, strong canvas material. Comes in all colours. And what attracted me to it is on the front, obviously, it's got multiple gardening uses. Look, it's also a wine cooler.
Oh, well, of course, now that does explain why you've just come tumbling over with that one there. And, of course, it is waterproof as well. That's the other thing. So if you've got a load of sort of damp and sludgy stuff, if you're clearing out your pond and everything, then this is also going to be good for that as well.
There we are. I'm putting my bucket back in its bag now.
Now, you are Miss Decorative, and I suppose there are a couple of items which we will be taking home with us this afternoon, which we will get to a little bit later on. But you have chosen, because we have to say that solar power is us. It has completely taken over our gardens. The fact is that, in my experience, it's almost impossible once a solar item has died to rejuvenate it again. I know you've tried with some successes and some not, but the answer really is to throw all the sort of posts away that have all faded away and get some new ones. But there's also a craze these days on battery lamps, and I know that you and I have discovered these and are very impressed with them, having lanterns things. I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, if you are saving on your electricity, which we all should be doing, sticking a couple of battery lanterns here and there, perhaps in hallways and stuff, just as a safety lamp, is a fabulous thing to do. And you can bring them in out of the garden at this time of year so that they don't get messed up, and actually use them in the house, especially at Christmas time when everything looks so lovely.
Because they all look so nice. I mean, there's the Art Deco type lanterns, there's the old fashioned lattice type lanterns, and it's lovely to have. They're a good security device if you're going away, because they come on and off every evening. And I've just found these. I mean, it's lovely. I think we had some Cornish lanterns which were the solar powered ones earlier, which were lovely, but these are an extension of that. They're called a Stella glass jar. They come in silver and gold,
and they're like giant jam jars.
They are like giant jam jars, in beautiful, as I said, jewel like glittery silver and gold. And I think that's a lovely thing to put out on your patio. You can hang it from a tree, it's got a rope thing, or just stand it around your patio, and they will look lovely. They're battery, they come on for 4 hours and then go off again, so you can tie them. And they're just a lovely thing to have around, particularly at this time of year, I think, when you know you need a bit of colour and light in the garden, perhaps sort of more at night. To brighten up that whole kind of dark winter feeling. So to have a few of these dotted about, I think, will be lovely, and they're under a tenner.
Okay, I think we had better go and get the items now that are going to bankrupt us this Christmas, because we have dealt with a lot of present ideas, a lot of them under a tenner, certainly a very good quality present you can pick up under 20 quid. And if you want to put the boat out, well, there's plenty of luxury goods on offer at all garden centres around the county. But essentially, you and I have bumped into something which, as far as we're concerned, we've decided is the must-have at Christmas. So I think we're going to go off and find it, because I'm getting a little bit concerned that somebody might have stolen them, because I've left them in a trolley outside the front.
Oh, God, and I've just worked out how to put the knife back.
That helps. Right, Nicola, so we've crossed over. We've left all the Christmas decoration and everything else behind, and we've just ventured outside at the garden centre for something particular that has caught your eye, and unfortunately it's ended up in our basket, and we've just paid for them. I think you'd better describe what it is that you've treated us to for Christmas.
Well, it's not the first of this particular sort of thing that we've had. We have noticed over the last few months a wonderful collection of farmyard animals, cats and dogs as well, and the latest edition, scarecrows. Now, I've always been a huge fan of a scarecrow on an allotment or in a garden, and I think these two are quite special. They are made of tin. They are multicoloured. You think we've got a boy and a girl. I don't know how you can tell that, really, just because one's got a red flower and one's got a blue in this egalitarian age, but I'm happy to go with you on that. And they're lovely. One's got a green face, one's got a blue, yellow hat, white hat, and they stand about, what do you think, about 3 feet? Mm-hmm. 2.5, 3 feet mm-hmm. tall? Mm-hmm. And I think they will adorn any garden.
We should tell people that we already are the owners of a pig. We have we got a goat?
We've got a cockerel, we've got a goat, and we've got a lovely flower as well, yeah, which, in fact, I think we're turning into a complete commune.
We've been talking a lot today about the sort of things that people adorn their gardens with, and we've looked at the more practical aspects of feeding birds and all that sort of thing. We've also dealt with the sort of windowsill gardeners.
Yes.
But it is true to say that if you come to one of our many garden centres in and around the city, you can be as ludicrous as you like. And I would put this down to ludicrous department or Nicola Goes Shopping, I think, which is probably much closer to it than that. I should tell our dear listener that there is a picture of you on our Mandy's Garden Shed Facebook page holding the said items.
There is. And I think there is a place in every garden for the beautiful, classy, elegant Grecian figures in all varieties of stones. Love those too. But I think there's a lot to be said for something when you look out your garden, particularly at this time of year, although they're lovely in summer too, and it's just going to make you smile. And there is a note, because they are all different and they are treated very much quite correctly as living individuals, and each one
we do give them names, don't we?
We do. In fact, they come with names as well, actually, a lot of them, but we often change them, and they all come with a personal note. I am handcrafted and no two of me are the same. My creator, along with all of my family and friends, was the Australian designer Aaron Jackson. I remove scrap material from our environment and I'm totally recycled from 44 gallon drums. Put me inside or I love to be outside. My finish may age a little when outside because we're all different, but I'm very durable and will be with you a long time. Please take me home so we can continue this journey together.
I think that's a perfect way of finishing this particular shopping spree.
Mandy's Garden Shed on Cambridge 105.
Yes, and we have a huge thank you to Caroline at Scottsdale's Garden Centre, Great Shelford, for allowing us to be just a bit crazy with our microphone and our shopping basket there. But lots and lots of ideas. If you're scratching your head and wondering what to buy the gardener in your life, then hopefully there's one or two ideas that have come up there. Now, reluctantly, I'm going to hand over to Nicola.
Well, I just thought we'd have a quick glance through the gardener's world before we go today. Fact of the month, because goodness knows you've learnt precious little else from this show so far. Mm-hmm. There's an article on sprouts. It's called Three Ways with Brussels Sprouts.
And I'm holding my breath
something
here.
Something to do with garam masala and chorizo. But what I did want to tell you was that the nutritional aspect of sprouts is extraordinary. So for those of you, I don't know who you are, because I love a Brussels sprout myself, who think they're something abhorrent. Actually, do you know, there's four times more vitamin C in an 80-gram serving of sprouts than there is in an orange.
That's a good fact.
It is a good fact,
isn't it? So this age-old comment at a dinner table with kids: eat your sprouts up.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said for it.
It's very good.
Yeah, yeah,
I love sprouts.
Lots of vitamins. Yeah,
you have to have them on stalks, don't you? You have to buy them on stalks.
I love the sprouts on stalks. Yeah. Yeah,
we don't have any of those on the allotment, though, do we?
No, we don't.
We haven't succeeded in that yet. No,
at all.
In fact, we have sprout bits because I've put them in the compost. So
yes, festive easy makes.
Pardon?
It's my parting shot today.
Oh dear!
It's my homage to all those people who have
this is where I usually cue the record and play it over you, isn't it?
More time than sense at Christmas, because I love. Don't get me wrong.
No?
I love in theory that everybody has got time at Christmas to go out into their garden, bring things in, and make the most beautiful homemade decorations on it. You know, if you're Kirsty Allsop, fantastic. So I will leave you with a few.
They pay her to do it, don't
they? Yes, terracotta pot centrepiece. Basically, get a small terracotta pot, fill it with rice, stick a candle in the middle, and put a few sprigs of pyracantha around the edge.
Okay.
Lovely. And some sculpted ivy leaves, whatever they are. Now, we really get into the realms of La La Land now, I think. There's name card stands. You know, if you are inviting people for Christmas and you can't remember who their names are and you want the name card stands, there's a recommendation here to get a couple of inches of a lichen-covered branch, saw a slit in it and stick the name tag in that.
Okay, that's, well, yeah.
Place settings as an alternative to napkin rings, if you've got napkin rings, using decorative twigs such as pussy willow and cedar with sculptural ivy leaves again as the pretty alternative to a napkin ring. There you go.
What? So you plait them or favorite. Something?
This is my favourite. Now, who is the person who's got time to do this?
Okay.
Acorn decorations. Little acorns can have a big impact when hung in a group and brightened up with a coat of paint. And there really is somebody in this picture. Look, it's on here now.
Oh, yeah.
On page 50 of Gardener's World, who is sticking a foam pad on the top of an acorn and holding it on a stick and dipping it in paint, waiting for it to dry, cutting chunky string, binding them all together, and then hanging it on the tree.
Okay.
And this one, closed peg star. Remove the metal clasps from five pegs and glue the straight edges together to form a point.
Well, that's going to be a problem for a start.
I've lost the point of that one, haven't you? And then last, probably but not... Oh, have we got time for the pine cone bauble?
If it's
Leave the cones in a warm, dry place to encourage them to open up. And this one, this made me laugh. Just before guests arrive... I mean, you've really got time, haven't you? Mm. You're running around, aren't you? Brushing your hair.
Yeah, wiping the steam from the windows.
Exactly,
that sort of
thing. Combine some cinnamon, bay, cloves, orange and sprigs of pine with water in a heavy base pan and slowly bring to the boil. Transfer to glass jars to fill the air with spicy aromas.
Right, well, on that happy note, Nicola and I would love to wish you a very, very happy Christmas, and we hope that all your greenery remains green one way or another. Don't forget that for the rest of the afternoon, you can enjoy the delights of the Mill Road Christmas Fair, and if you want to listen to it on the radio, that's great, but why don't you go down there? Because I know that Matt and Co have got bags full of goodies to give away this afternoon in Mill Road. You'll find them all in Hope Street Yard. We will leave you with Maddie Pryor and the Carnival Band and the Holly and the Ivy. Have a great Christmas. Bye for now.
Christ for to redeem.